What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Scale Riders Podcast. This is episode 104 with your host, 65 Lokes, and welcome to 2020, the new year. It's here. 2019 is the past. We can't relive it. All we can do is just look back. It's history now. And let's welcome 2020. As you're hearing this, it's either going to be depending, because I'm posting it tonight, which is the 5th, but, you know, Monday for most of my listeners who tell me they check it out, it's usually on the Mondays. That's the 6th. It's for most people, you know, we're starting the work week. Even for myself, I had 2 weeks off from work. And I mean, when the idea came about that, hey, we're going to be closing for 2 weeks, I had no plans to travel anywhere. So I decided, you know what, obviously I got to stay local, but as I'm going to be staying local, I'm going to try to take advantage of the free time and work on projects, catch up on things, do some cleaning here and there, pretty much a long list, and trying to make every day effective and productive, you know. But as we all know, a lot of the times we have these long lists and not everything gets done. Some of them do, and things get checked off, but a lot of things do not. So it was fun having the 2 weeks off. I had a lot of time to think, plan, reflect, and just, you know, just see what's around me, what to look forward to in the future. And at the same time, it was fun to work on projects, spend time with my girlfriend as well, with my family, and just kind of kick back and relax. Very rare that I'll get this many days off from work. So at some point I was like, you know, like, what am I going to do? That's so long. And even towards the end now, you know, this is like the last day of my vacation. I'm supposed to go to work tomorrow. The last 4 days, I was very anxious. Like, I wanted to go back to work already. I was already like kind of over it. Just like, all right, I need to go back. I need to go back. I need to handle, do my thing. And I know I could have worked on models and whatnot, but still, it's just something about being used to like just working, and that makes you feel good, you know, being responsible. And I don't know, even though I'm still getting paid for these days off, it's still, I just felt like I wasn't doing much in a way on these last few days. But other than that, I did manage to visit my parents' house. I went early in the morning, and there's a car in the garage, pulled that thing out. So now I had the garage all clear. So I have all my model kits, a majority of them there. Like, I would say pretty much all of them. I have some here where I live at now, but I might have maybe like about 10 of them, but all the rest are over there. And from one of the past episodes, when I had spoken to Nathan Trujillo, he had asked me how many model kits I had. And I think I kind of forgot, but I'm pretty sure I threw out a number like 700, something like ridiculous, right? That even later, that caught me thinking, and I started to get a little paranoid, like, man, 700, like, do I have 700? You know, and I started to feel weird, like, man, did I just like lie to him? I was like, dude, I gotta really look into this. I gotta do a fact check, you know, I gotta see what do I really have. So I went over to my parents' house, pulled out the car, got all the model kits that are stored away in these like plastic bins, which I placed them in, because before I used to just kind of stack them up and you could see all the kits. But, you know, when somebody walks in a garage or a room or anywhere in the closet and they see a wall towering of just kits piled up, it's kind of shocking, you know. And anybody who doesn't build model car kits are going to see that and be like, whoa, what the heck? Like, what's all this? You know, I don't know. It's funny to me because I've seen people's reactions to that. And I even had a reaction from my younger brother, because I was in the garage all by myself, quiet, pulling the bins out. I started taking all the car kits out and I started stacking them up, right? And I probably had like a quarter of the kids barely like stacking up. And he's over here doing laundry, and he happens to just walk into the garage to get something, and he just sees this like wall starting to be built, and he's like, whoa, what's going on? And I was like, oh, I'm just sorting my kits. I want to pull them all out, and I want to count exactly, and I want to know exactly how many I have here, you know, because I was kind of freaking out, like, man, like, I do have a lot of those plastic containers that have so many kits inside. I just didn't know how many were inside of it, you know, because sometimes some of the boxes that I'm cramming in there, they're a little off. Some, they're not all the same. Some kits are a little bit wider than others. So a lot of times there's some that the boxes are like the regular smaller boxes that you see at like Hobby Lobby and, you know, pretty much any of your hobby stores. So with those smaller ones, I could cram in so many. So I started to, like, when I was driving up, I just kept thinking, man, how many do I really have? Like, 700's a scary number, you know? And I just started to tell myself, you know what? If I do have that many kits, I got to let go of like half or something, because there's no way that I'm ever going to do that many kits, you know? So once I was done, I pulled out everything out. I lined everything up. At first, I was kind of taking my time putting everything in category. I started putting all the Impalas together by year. I started putting Ford, Chevy trucks, and all this stuff. I just, wagons, like anything. I was just trying to categorize everything. But that was, you know, like taking too long. And I was like, you know what? Like, what am I doing? Like, I need to find out first, how many do I have? So I sort everything out. All the bins are all empty. All the boxes are lined up. Some of them are kind of tilting and leaning, you know, they're ready to fall. So I have to be quick. I have to start counting these before they all fall. And then there's a mess all over the place. Next thing you know, you got the dogs running around, and then they're like squatting, peeing on stuff. And it just creates a bigger mess. So I started to count, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I just kept going and going and going. I reach 100. And I'm like, all right, we're up to 100. And then I'm like, keep going and going. And I'm like, but I'm feeling good, because when I reached 100, it's almost like I was like halfway, you know? And then when I got to 200, I was like, all right, cool. And then I keep going. And then finally I start reaching like 226. And I was like, that's it? That's all I have? And that's model cars, that's even the motorcycle kits as well. And then I was like, wait, but I have the kits at the house. And then I even wanted to include the Gundam kits I have. So I ended up later, you know, so I had a number that I wrote down, and then later when I came home, I added those up. So pretty much at the end, I totaled up 237 kits, which it made me feel a lot better. And I started to think, how the heck did I come up with 700? That's such an exaggerated number that I just threw out there. And I felt bad. I started to feel like, man, like, did I just lie to Nathan Trujillo? What the heck? And I was like, you know what? I need to clear this. I need to put it out there on the podcast and, you know, let you guys, not just him, even you guys are listening to this. You guys must have been like, what the hell? That's a huge number. You know, and all I can remember is, you know, going to like Michael's, Hobby Lobby, and any, almost every other day, because there's so many of them close by when I was living out there in Ventura County, in Oxnard, that I was just buying a kit here, buying a kit there, and using that 40% off, 50% off. Sometimes I'll be hanging out with a buddy, and we would roll up, and I would be like, hey, man, I'm going to buy this kit. I want this one too. Can you help me out? And here's the money, and here's the coupon on your phone. You know, purchase that and I'll purchase this. So this way it was cheaper. So this kept going on and on and on, that I was just like, in my head, you know, it's not that I had a piece of paper and I was writing down each kit and then just putting it away. I was just buying them and then just putting them away. Eventually you start going to the car model shows, and in the West, the Model Fest in Camarillo, and you know, it's like, next thing you know, there's more stuff piling up. Next thing you know, you got a whole new bin you got to fill up. So I was like, man, this is getting out of hand. This is getting too crazy. I'm getting consumed with this, you know? So once I had the number, I was relieved. I felt good. I was like, okay, cool. I don't feel so bad, you know? And even, you know, and I don't want to knock any of the guys out there that have massive more model kits in their collection than me. Like, even to them, 200 it might be whatever. You know, some of your listeners might have a lot more in the thousands or 2,000s, 3,000s. I don't know. You might have a warehouse, and that's cool. I mean, you know, I respect everybody's things because I know I got my fair share of collections of things that people would be like, what, you collect that? You know, and so anybody who's into anything and that is really into something and takes it to that next level, I respect it. I don't judge it. Cause that's your thing, you know, and that's all good. So I was like, all right, I'm ready to put all this stuff back now. You know, I need to put it away because, you know, I got to put the car in and I got to keep going on with all my day cause I still got things I got to do. So I started to, start with the first bin. I started putting in model kits that I have one of, and that I do want to keep. And even whether it's to build or just for future trade or sell, for its rarity or whatever, because some of these I haven't even seen in the store or even at the model shows. I just said, you know what, I'm going to keep this. So I started putting kits away, started storing them away. Finally, I was getting to the tail end of it. And, you know, I was also putting aside like the ones that I was like, you know what, I got like doubles, triples of this one, and I know I'm not going to build this one. So I started putting those in another stack. So I pretty much felt even better because I got to organize everything and somewhat kind of catalog what I have. I didn't write stuff down, but I did take some pictures of it, you know, just to kind of see. And so I put stuff away and I said, all right, these are the ones that I'm going to keep. And then the stack that I was like, all right, this is the stuff I'm going to sell, part with. Like, I just don't want it in my collection because I'm not into it anymore. On those particular cars, at the time when I was buying them, you know, I had this like, it's like an addiction, you know. You see something and you buy it, and then you see a different car and you're like, oh, I'm going to get that one too. And next thing you know, you're just collecting everything. And so there was a lot of different cars that I was like, nah, I'm not gonna build this. You can't even lowride this. Like, I never seen this car into a lowrider, so I don't want to get it. I mean, I don't want to get it. I got it, but I don't want it anymore, pretty much. So I started to think, like, you know what? Maybe I can sell these at a model show in Camarillo, like the Model Fest, which is like the closest. This way, I don't have to drive. If not, I'll probably put it online. Or I might have something that somebody wants and I could just trade or whatever, you know? But, so that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I managed to fill in like at least two container bins with models that I'm willing to part with, whether it's for sale or trade. But I do have those there. So I put everything away. And, I don't know, it just felt really good. I wonder, if any of you guys have done that before, where you pull everything out, you count, you categorize what you have, and then you start to kind of make those hard decisions when you start to decide what is it that you're going to keep and what is it that you're going to get rid of. Because, I mean, they're never going to stop building these cars. They're going to continue making them. Every year we're going to have new releases and some re-releases that are going to be coming out. So, you know, I know a lot of you guys are car lovers. You guys love everything, you know, and it's cool because, I mean, you could be into muscle cars, the lowriders, the customs. There's just, it's never ending, you know, but at the same time, it's like we have to figure out the space situation. And as time goes on, space is getting very limited. And just think of your phones, you know. We like to take pictures, we like to take videos, and what do we start to do? We start to fill up our phones, and we start getting rid of the space. So next thing you know, we got delete photos, videos, apps just to make more room for new photos and videos. So it's kind of the same, you know. I look at a garage, I look at a closet or a room more like a hard drive. That's the way I like to look at it, as to, you know, once you start buying stuff and you start filling in your room, the closet and everywhere, you're filling in that hard drive pretty much. You're storing things away. At some point it's going to get filled. And, you know, it's not like we can buy another closet or, you know, it's the one that's in the room. So, unless you build another one on the top of the room, second level. But other than that, you're taking up all this space. And we have to be very careful with what we're buying, what we're spending, because the one thing that we don't like to do is move. You know, I mean, we have to do it sometimes, but it's like, I think it's like the whole, like, man, we gotta move all this stuff, and it seems more of a mission, you know? So it's kind of the same, like, when you gotta move all your model kits, you know? And it's just boxes after boxes after boxes. It's like never ending. And I started to really think about it. Like, if I didn't have so many kits, let's say we narrow it down to only having like 10 kits or even 5 kits. Like, if that's all I had, it would be so cool. Like, that I feel that I would be super focused on just those 5, you know, to work on them. With no pressure of rushing, of getting them done. Because I always feel like when you have a small amount of something, you appreciate it than having a lot of it, you know? And it goes with anything, you know? Because I know for myself, I've experienced like wanting to own something that's kind of rare and hard to find. Let's just say it's like a collectible, like either a trading card or an action figure. And at some point, I finally get my hands on it. And I paid the hefty price or the full price, like the secondary, you know, eBay price or whatever. And I'm like, yes, I finally have it. And I'm enjoying it and I'm like digging it because I finally have it, right? It's like a holy grail piece. And eventually, you find the second one. And you get it. You're like, dude, like, this is like so dope. Like, I can't believe people are selling this. I'm not going to pass this up. And then you get a third one. You're like, man, people are like hurting or something. Like, why are they selling this? Like, man. But it still has a strong value, though. But now there are people are just, because they really need to sell it. They're just like, dude, I'll hook you up, you know. Finally got like 4 of them. At this point, the feeling of it kind of goes away. Like, you kind of, like, get too relaxed, you don't take care of it, or you're just kind of like, eh, whatever, I got like 4 of those, you know? And it's different. It changes the dynamic compared to if you just had one. If you had one, you're going to take your time, you're going to take care of it, you're going to appreciate it. It's just a whole lot different, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys have experienced this with different things. It doesn't just have to be a collectible item. It could be just something that has some sentimental value to you, you know? But with the model kits, it gets out of hand, you know? Like from buying, let's say you buy a 65 Impala model kit and you buy one and you're cool with it. You know, you're happy, you're building it and whatnot. And the next thing you know, you keep seeing the same kit at the store, you know, with the Foos box artwork in the front. And you keep buying it over and over. Next thing you know, you got like 5 kits of the same. You know, that first time, the first one you're building, when you're done with it, you might be into it or you might not be into it. You might realize, you know what? 65 Impalas are cool, but I don't want to build another one. Like, I just, it was all right, but I didn't really get that satisfaction I wanted. The one I really want is a 64 Impala. That's the one I really want to build, you know? And because it's a completely different body shape. And next thing you know, you're like, man, but I'm still sitting on like 5 of them 65s and I have no 64s. And now you're like, man, what should I do? And, you know, you either sell, trade or whatever. But I feel like if you had like a low amount of quantity, it would definitely be something you would appreciate more, you know? And it's hard. I mean, it's tough because it's like, I'm not like against it. And I'm also like for it too, because I've talked about it on previous episodes where you go to a model car show and heck yeah, you know, there's good deals you can't pass up and you buy that stuff, you know, and I'm guilty of it. Like I buy stuff even right now I'm saying, oh, I got like these models I want to get rid of and this and this and that. Watch. By the end of this month in January at NNL West, I'll probably be buying another kit or two, you know, and I'll be talking about it. And it's just, it, at that point it hits me and I go, man, the madness is not going to end, you know? It's crazy. Like to me, buying model kits is like buying records. Like I still buy vinyl records and I listen to them and I play them. I do get the MP3s and I listen to MP3s too, but, I still buy the vinyl records and I have friends that are like, why are you still buying vinyl records? And it's just like, dude, it's just, I like physical things. I like the manual part of pulling out the record, putting it on a turntable, getting the needle, you know, putting it right in the beginning, from beginning to end, and let the record play out and start it over. All that analog stuff I love. So it's kind of the same, like, with model car kits, you keep buying them. And records, you keep buying them. Even if you have no space, even if you filled up your shelf, now you're down to having them on crates. Now they're on the floor, you know, leaning against the wall. You know, it's leaning against like the dog's house or the cat's litter box. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't end either. You know, music keeps coming up, whether it's new or even old. So with records, I just want to conclude that, I mean, with records, with the model cars, conclude that just be aware of your purchases, and if you do have the space, then by all means go for it, you know. If you have the space, do it up. But if you have like limited space, maybe like take it easy on the stuff. And one thing I will tell you is that if you don't buy it right now, you will find it later. And I know most people will say, well, it's going to be a lot more expensive. It might be. Because I've seen a lot of stuff, you know, that's past 10 years, 15 years. And there is times where it spikes and it's expensive. But then there's times where it drops completely. And it's almost like it loses its value. And now it's back to what it originally was or below that. You know, and once in a while, you never know. Like, even one of your homies might just be like, you want that kit? You haven't found that kit before or you never owned it? Here. You can have mine. I've met a lot of model builders are just like that. They're just like, you've been looking for that one? Let me check my stash collection. And then next thing you know, they're like handing you one, you know? And you're like, whoa, what the heck? So don't worry about it. Like if at the moment you used to build model cars, you want to get back into it and, you know, you're busy with work, with life, you have your family, and, you know, that has to take a break, but you keep up with everybody, and you go on Instagram, or you're part of the groups on Facebook, and you see everybody just buying stuff, and it's the latest thing, or whatever, you have to just kind of be aware that there's certain things you'll still be able to find later, and yes, there are going to be some parts or pieces that are going to be very rare that you might want to jump on. But if you're better off not buying so many kits because of the limited space, just wait, because you'll get it later, you know. And I'm sure somebody will hook you up. You just got to put it on the universe and somebody will come through for you, you know. So that was one of the many things I did over the vacation time. At the same time, I went over, while I was there, I made my way over to the paint room where I normally paint my model cars and other projects. And it rained, you know, before the days before when I got off work. So that room was a mess. Like water was all over the floor. Even some of the model kits that I stored there got water damage or whatever. Both the boxes. But other than that, everything else, I had to take stuff out. I cleaned it all up and I was like, all right, dope. Started same thing, looking through what I have, what I don't have, started throwing things away, started finding a lot of paint that I never got to use that, just went bad. It got really thick, like dry. I've had friends that told me like, just put thinner in it and just shake the hell out of it and you can bring it back. And I did that to some, but to some others, I was like, nah, this is like a done deal. This is already like cracking. Like it's done. I didn't check my candies. I have like small, like 1 ounce little bottles. I have those forever. I feel like those are gone too. It just got really cold in that room. And with the water, that didn't help, the humidity, just the conditions that were in there. It took a toll on a lot of the paints. But the one paints that I'm tripping out on that did not get damaged at all, and I've had these for years, are the paints that I had already reduced, and I put them in the Tamiya bottles. So shout out to Tamiya. Those little bottles, man, those things work miracles, because like my pearls, metallics that I have in those bottles, I just like, you know, I shake them up and agitate them, and they're ready to go. And I painted some stuff and there's just no issues. It doesn't react and nothing abnormal. Everything just seems cool. So I really like obviously it's a glass bottle, but I really like the cap. Those caps that Tamiya uses on those bottles work so great. And I know they have like a small size and the larger size. I highly recommend the larger size because it will go a long way. Once you mix your paint, I believe you can fit, I think, let's just say if you went to Coast Airbrush and you purchased like 2 ounces, you can probably get like a couple bottles because you gotta, you know, you do the half and half. So let's say if you pour 1 ounce into the little Tamiya bottle and then you add, the other half with the reducer, you should have like a full bottle of paint right there ready to go, which just works out great. And I mean, putting it in that room and then having this little shelf, it's like it's being put to the test, and it doesn't do no damage. So far the pearls have been great. The metallics have been great. The candies also have been great. There was one candy that I was messing with that it wasn't acting up, but I feel that I didn't mix it correctly. I feel like I made a mistake on that. So I need to go back and redo. But what I feel like kind of doing is a lot of those candies that went bad, and even like the other paint that I tossed, I might be tossing a lot of that stuff. And instead of making the mistake like I did before of ordering the complete kit, like almost every color, I'm only going to order like a few colors that are like colors I really like and that I want to paint a car with. Because before, I mean, you know, when you're being introduced to something new and you want to experiment, you want to have everything at hand, right? But it gets very expensive. And now, you know, I've learned a lesson that you got to start slow. You can't just go too crazy, especially with the colors, because these colors go a long ways, you know. And it's funny because even I had these metallics that I was like, man, you know what? These bottles are like still brand new. I never even ever got to use these colors. And I ordered them from Coast Airbrush some years back. Let me go ahead and just right now I'm going to pour them in this cup. And I'm going to use my LPH 80 by Iwata. And I'm going to prep some skateboards. And I'm going to, you know, paint these boards. At least lay down a base with them. And I knew that, watch, I'm going to finish this thing quick, right? But and I was just thinking like, this is gonna be dope, finish up all the paint, I could just toss the bottle, whatever, right? So then I started spraying the boards, and one cool thing I like about the LPH-80 is you can run it at a low PSI. I got some great coverage on the boards and everything. I painted two of them, and then once I was done, I was still left with some paint. And for some reason, I thought that I was just going to blow right through it. And that didn't happen. I got the coverage I needed. And I still had paint left over. So I was like, dang, what else am I going to paint? But it was all good. I ended up just pouring the paint back in the cup. There's probably like a quarter of it now in the bottle. And then I put that away. So, but everything else I did toss, just things that I just knew, like, oh, this went bad, no good. It just felt like that feeling like when you buy milk or something and you put it in the fridge and then you didn't really drink from it that much. You did, but not really. Next thing you know, you got to toss it now. You're like, dang, that's like a full gallon right there. You know, I barely took a sip out of that thing. So it felt really productive. Felt cool, like being able to like sort the kits and then move on over to the paint room, clean up, organize. You know, it was almost like spring cleaning, tossing things out. And then just keeping and then noting down what is it that I need to upgrade, what is it that I want next. And I noticed that I am using the 3M PPS system, the version 1, and I'm down to like 25 liners, and I know I'm gonna be running out of them this year. I'm pretty sure those cups will probably last me for like the next couple months or a few months till I run out. But once I run out, I want to get the PPS, the 2.0 system. So there's going to be some things that I'm going to have to upgrade on, the cups, the adapters, and, I'm going to still be able to use the same, spray guns, but I will definitely be, having to do that. And, you know, just kind of noting down, like, you know, what is it that I have? And also the equipment, you know, you gotta, like the compressor, I hadn't turned it on for a while. So I had to like turn it on, make sure it's working properly. Pretty much make sure you, at the bottom, it has like a release where you open up, like the tank. So this way you get all the water and everything that builds up at the bottom, get rid of all that right there. So, you know, just giving maintenance to everything, wiping it down with a shop towel, just making sure everything's cool. Because I mean, you know, we are investing a lot of money into our equipment. And if you take care of it, you will have longevity with it, and it'll be there. It'll always come through for you, because if you don't take care of it, you don't clean your stuff, eventually you're going to want performance and it's not going to give you that. That's when it's going to like give up, and it's not its fault. You know, it's because, you know, you didn't do the maintenance. So, just by doing that, you know, it's going to be all good. And yeah, you know, 2020, we made it, we're here. It's going to be exciting. Let's see what happens. I mean, I know that there's events coming up that we're going to get into in a little bit that we're going to talk about. And, you know, it's like right now, looking forward, you gotta look at things as like, you're living the moment, you're living in the future right now, you know? So whatever you do right now, in this very moment, as you're listening to this podcast, a lot of the times it's going to determine, what you're going to be doing in the next month or two or year, you know, with your future holds. And it's like, take advantage of every day, you know, what you do, but at the same time, take breaks, learn to, take care of your mind, your body, everything, right? Because you want to be feeling good in order to be productive with what you want to do. And the goals that you've been having for years, you know, try to make some of them reality. You know, I always like to write things down to see what is it that I want to do, what is it that I want to be at. And a lot of the times you start to manifest that and it starts to happen, you know. If there's somebody that you admire, that you look up to, and you see the way they carry themselves, the level, the skill that they're at, you know, you need to like do your homework, do research, and maybe ask that person some questions, you know, that can help you to be somewhat like them, but your version, you know. And I mean, anything you do, just, you know, go with it with a positive mindset. And man, like, I'll tell you, man, positivity, like, it attracts so many opportunities and good things that will come your way, you know. And it's just, it's crazy, but it happens. And I've experienced some of these things in the past, where opportunities were offered, and I've also experienced opportunities where they were given and I didn't do anything about it, and I lost those opportunities. So it's one of those things that you have to be, like, if you get something and that's something you want to do and you're about it, go for it, you know, just go for it and do it. And if let's say you got an opportunity and you slept on it, you didn't do nothing about it, and it might not ever come around again, learn from it. You know, don't beat yourself down. Just learn from it and see what else comes out down the road. Because sometimes when we don't react to it or we don't do it, it can be because there's some other stuff that's going around in our lives that's holding us back, that we're like, dang, I can't even do it. But sometimes we don't even know what to say, you know, so we keep quiet or whatever, you know, or we do say, you know what, I can't do it, I'm sorry. So for this year, 2020, you know, have your goals, like, you can write them down, you know, or just say them to yourself. And if there's something you haven't learned, there's ways to learning it. You just have to seek the information, you know. Like right now, I've been doing a lot of videos for the YouTube channel for Scale Riders, and I've been having a lot of fun. You know, at first it was a learning curve, like trying to adjust to do videos and come up with content and like a theme or what is it that I'm, what kind of message am I trying to send out here? You know, because I know that it's targeted and it's geared to model builders, but then again, I have friends that don't build model cars at all, and they show love and they appreciate what I do. They see that I'm passionate about something and they want to support me. So, I take all those things in consideration, because sometimes it's like, you know, you could be with friends and they could be like, hey, you're on YouTube? Yeah. What's your channel? And you tell them and they're like, oh, let's put it on. Let's watch it right now. And it's like they put you on the spot. And it feels good when you're prepared. Like you have, when you know, okay, I have some content, you know, maybe they'll enjoy it, you know, and it's really like just something that's a little bit, it's not pigeonholed just to one thing, you know, it's a little bit more broad. And then they're like, oh, okay, cool, I get it. Like, oh, crazy, or damn, you know, they trip out and now they're like into it. And it's kind of relatable to music too, because when I make music, like, I don't really go around telling people like, oh yeah, I produce music, I'm a producer and this, and I don't say nothing. I just keep to myself. And, you know, when I meet other peers or people that do music, I'm more interested in what they're doing. And then I ask them questions and whatnot. And eventually it comes around and then I'll present whatever I have. But sometimes too, you get put on the spot where they're like, oh, you make beats? Let me hear them. I want to hear them. Or you got a link or SoundCloud or YouTube, you know? And sometimes you're like, oh damn, you get sideblinded and you're like, oh shoot, I don't even got anything. Or like, oh, I don't know if this is appropriate, you know? Like, nah, don't play that here. Like this stuff's too crazy or whatever, you know, whatever it is. So, with the content, I'm always thinking like, all right, I need to come up with the video. You know, like, who am I trying to pitch this to? What's the theme of it? What are you going to get out of it from watching it? You know, I don't want to do no clickbait videos where I'm telling you it's going to be this and then it's not even that. I'm not going to be doing like doing crazy pranks or anything like that, you know? So I'm just trying to think like, you know what? I'm going to do videos on things like tutorials, the magazine reviews, interviews and just like coverage from shows. And lately I've been having a blast doing the magazine videos. And I know the first video I did, and it was a quick one. It was more of just kind of like a quick little preview. It was the Scale Auto magazine. And this is the one that premiered Armando Flores on the cover. He also got a spread, and it was like an Impala issue. There was also NNL West that was in there. Some of the, you know, the guys from up north that were in the magazine, and lots of Impala. So it was a cool magazine that got me excited. And when I get excited, I'm like, dude, I got to record this. Like, I'm amped to talk. I don't have to do a take two, a take three. It's just like, I just hit record and I just kind of just freestyle whatever. Like, I'm just excited and I'm happy and I go for it. So that was like the first I did. And then eventually, when Dedicated Magazine came out and they started releasing their magazines, I did the same for their magazines. Started looking through them. I started being excited with the people that they were featuring. And, you know, it's like I said before, it's like a yearbook, feels like, because a lot of these people, it feels good when you see your friend's cars in there. And you're just like, oh dude, I know this person, you know? So, started doing those on video too, per volume. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I have some Lowrider Bicycle magazines, and after speaking with Nathan Trujillo, I was like, I know there's some people anytime, whether, how can I say this? Like, anytime somebody out there posts like a picture of the cover or does any kind of mention, you are going to get a response from people that are going to talk about the magazine, that they grew up on it, that they collected it, or that they used to have that issue. So, and at the same time, hey, how much, or where can I get one, you know? So I started to think, like, I know not everybody's going to be able to get these issues, and not everybody's going to, like, even if you have it, it's going to be hard to show page by page. Like, I know a long time ago, Jeffries did take the time to scan a lot of these magazines, and he had them online on Lay It Low forum, and I mean, bless him for that, because I know he brought a lot of nostalgic memories for a lot of people, you know. So I started to think, like, you know what, how about I do my take right now, where I bust out, start from issue number one, and flipping page by page, talking about it, giving a bit of an insight, you know, even reading some of the articles beforehand, and just showcasing some of the work of a lot of the pioneers that are motor building still to this day, but back in their day, right? The heyday, the golden era. So right now I'm up to issue 4, and I started to plan it out. Like, every weekend I'm going to do an issue. So shout out to Juana Mesqua as well, because there's some issues I don't have in my collection, and he was nice enough to let me borrow the issues that I don't have. This way I can go forward and do the videos. So, I'm excited for next weekend to do video number 5, which is going to be the issue 5. And, it's just cool to look at all this stuff. And it feels good that just knowing that there's some people overseas, or even out of state, or even in California, that have never seen this magazine, or they got to see the cover, but they never got to see what's inside of it, you know? So my goal in the future is to catalog as many, issues in video of this magazine, and just have them all collectively, you know, all grouped together. So this way, if somebody wants to geek out and they want to listen to me rambling and see the video footage of it, they can go right ahead, you know, and just have more content out there, You know, I don't want people to kind of forget about the past. I want them to see what was going on back then. So it kind of, it just connects. I want to like just keep connecting the dots with a lot of people and just connecting the whole like things that were going on back in the day to what's going on now. See why this person's on this level, their inspirations. And that's one of the things I love about the podcast is that they're down to do the interviews and we're able to speak about all this stuff. So shout outs to you guys there. But yeah, check out the YouTube channel. If you just go on YouTube, look up Scale Riders and check out the videos. Every week, pretty much just doing videos. And if you see videos coming up constantly, that's because like I'm just like I'm on, not, I don't want to say I'm on fire, but I'm just like, I'm excited. I'm just jazzed. Like, let's go, let's go, let's go. But when there's no videos going on for some days, it's just cause I'm chilling. I'm like, all right, let me take a break. All right. I gotta chill. So, as we know it, we're in January and we're not too far away from NNL West. That's coming up. That's going to be at the end of this month. And let me, I'm going to go right ahead and I'll pull up the information for you guys, because I know there's guys that are going to be coming out from out of town and traveling from far away outside of California. And also for some of you guys that are here in California and are planning on making the drive up north. I just want to give you guys some information here of what's to come, depending your schedule on what's going on. So for Friday, if you guys have time, and you guys are going to be driving and you're just going to be out there pretty early, I would recommend to go to Model Car and Pizza Night. And this is the NNL West pre-party. This is taking place Friday, January 24th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And it's taking place at Round Table Pizza. The address is 46600 Mission Boulevard, Fremont, California. The zip is 94539. And this is being hosted by Alex Ramirez on Instagram. If you want to follow Alex and look up any more further detail, or you have any questions for him, make sure you look him up at El Handis. That's ELJANDIS. Or, you know, if you want to hit me up on 65 Lokes there or Skill Riders. But that's going to be going down. Alex has been hosting a lot of these model car and pizza nights last year. And he had mentioned to me that he was planning on doing something for the NNL West and like a pre-party, because he knows that a lot of people are going to be in town from out of town. So myself, I'm going to be heading out there with Dennis, and we will be out there pretty early. And we were talking about it, and we were like, dude, we should go. It's only like 30 minutes away. It's not that far at all from where Santa Clara is. And I definitely want to go, because I want to just hang out, kick it, chat, record, get some interviews, you know, footage, and to share it with you guys, you know, because I know some of you guys aren't going to be able to go, but I at least want to share what went on that night. I want to share the cars, you know, talk to some people, and hopefully they're not shy, and get them on video, so this way you guys feel like you guys were there. So that's going down the Friday. And I mean, who doesn't love pizza? You know, you got pizza, you got the model cars. It doesn't get any better than that. And also, if you guys are going to be like selling model cars or trading or whatever, you better start striking your deals now. So this way, when you get there, you just do the transaction and you're good. So that's going to be Friday 24th. And then the following day, which is going to be Saturday, that's going to be the NNL West. That's going to be taking place there in Santa Clara Convention Center. So let me go ahead and pull the information for that as well. That's going to be the main show that you know, everybody's going to be in town for right there. That's going to be a fun one. And I mean, get there early because obviously you got to register. You got to get all sorted out. So this is the NNL West for the year 2020. The theme is any year 4x4, any 1970 vehicle. This will be taking place January 25th at the Santa Clara Convention Center. If you want more info, please visit www.nnlwest.org. It's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So it's a model car display and swap meet. And door prizes, admission is $15. So get there early, register, find your spot, set up. And then after that, you're on to the races. You can go and splurge, buy what you want to buy. And I believe, well, once the event is done, I know that a lot of people are going to be heading out, going home. Because Sunday, there's going to be in Pomona, California, the Roadster Show that's going to be taking place. And you know, a lot of people have been talking about it. Dennis, who was my guest on the previous episode, also mentioned about attending that show as well. So that's going to be going down. And it's just, there's a lot. Even Danny D's having an event. It's more of a private event, though. It's the Paint or Die. So there's a lot. There's always a lot going on that weekend, which is pretty cool. But as far as myself, I know Friday I'm going to be making the drive up north. I wanted to shout out Dead End. They were called, before they were called, when they started the company, Dead End Magazine. But now they're called Dead End Worldwide. And one of the shout outs I wanted to do is I wanted to congratulate them because they did close their one of their stores, the storefront that they had. And one time they invited Armando Flores and myself, and we did we brought out some model cars there, like a presentation. And the guys are so cool, very supportive, you know, to host that there in their location. And it was just like, just cool to see the whole vibe. And I really love what they're doing. They've been doing this, I believe this company's been established since 2004. And I mean, look, we're in 2020, you know, so that's 16 years there of work and, photography, cars, you name it, everything, clothing, like they have really good taste and stuff. And, you know, they closed down that store, but now they have a new location, and it's the Dead End Worldwide headquarters, the HQ. If you guys want to check this out, I want to check it out. Hopefully I have some time to make a quick like pit stop or something, stretch those legs and arms and everything and check out the Dead End HQ. Their address is, 60, is this Mollerin Street, Suite A, Salinas? I hope I didn't butcher that name. But that will be going down right there. And man, just seeing their Instagram and seeing the photos. And then I also caught a video on their YouTube channel. It looks so sick, so dope. Congratulations to you guys. Shout out to Jesus and Juan. Keep it up. Keep doing your thing. You guys are doing something so great. Shout out to you guys out there, and hopefully we can make that pit stop to check you guys out there at the Dead End Worldwide headquarters. And I also wanted to shout out Dennis for being on the previous podcast episode. He had some great tips, you know, especially the one about the microwave. That was something that I never even thought about, and it was just kind of funny, kind of crazy, like the idea. And then the more I thought about it, like when we're done with the episode, and I went on just thinking about that, and I was going like, dude, that's such a great idea right there. Because I know I've always run into issues when I'm trying to cure something and it's not curing on time. And at the same time, being at my friend's shop, he had these like huge like bars that they're like heat lamps. And I remember, you know, he's working a collision shop. So a lot of times once they fix something, it's painted and it's cleared, it's a very like a fast paced process. So they need to have these cars ready and done to be delivered the following day. And, And I remember my friend like clearing like a hood, and then he would pull up these lamps and he would just hover them over, and I would just be like just watching and checking out what he's doing, and I'd be like, dude, this is not gonna melt it or anything, it's kind of hot. And he's like, no, it's cool, it's just gonna speed up the process, you know, instead of it taking X amount of hours, now it's gonna take like half or even a quarter of that. It's going to be a really fast process. So I was like, all right, cool. And I'm like, you think it's going to be ready though for the next day? He's like, oh yeah, it will. Like, don't even trip. So, you know, seeing him handling that was like really, really cool. But I never really thought of that idea with the model cars. And I know as time went on, people were talking about using dehydrators and whatnot. And I seen some videos and pictures of some that people have. But I noticed that they would have to like still kind of like break pieces inside of it and just kind of like make room for their model cars. And some of the ones I saw wasn't really like attracted to that. I was like, oh, I want that piece. You know, I want to have that. You know, I was just kind of like, oh, that's cool. But I was just like, I wonder if there's something else that's like a little better, you know, and there are other ones that they make, but they're very pricey. They're super pricey. But when Dennis mentioned about the microwave, I was like, dude, you're so right. Like, I mean, you can buy a used one. You can go to the thrift store and get a cheap one, you know, Craigslist, Let It Go, like, and all these different websites you can go in and get one. You might even have a relative, or you might have an old one just chilling. They're getting ready to toss, and just clean it up, you know, get it nice and clean. And I mean, man, that makes total sense. Get it heat it up for a little bit, and then just pop your model in there, you know, and it'll get nice, you know, cure really nice. And then even once you're done, you can leave it in there, and nothing's gonna mess with it, which I thought was super cool. So thank you for that tip, man. I'm sure it helped out a lot of people that listen to the podcast as well. I did use one of Tony Johnson's methods too, aka Fab Kings, all the way in Texas. In one of the podcast episodes, he had mentioned about how he uses a heat gun and how he dials it in, like, you know, like curing the car and even the paint and all this stuff, like, that he uses it a lot. So I've had a heat gun for a while, and I purchased the heat gun from Harbor Freight Tools. It was like $9.95 around the time when I purchased it. I'm pretty sure it's still around the same price. They don't really go up in price too much. And I managed to clear coat one of the skateboards that I had spoken about earlier. And when I was clear coating these, you know, I wanted to speed up the process. I wanted to get this done because I needed to head out. And when I shot the first coat of clear, I went ahead and I knew it was going to take a while because of the weather conditions. It was a little like cold outside. So I connected the heat gun. I started going back and forth with the heat gun, going over the board, and then it was like the board was ready for another coat of clear. Did that, and by the time I got to like the third coat of clear, I noticed that on the ends, like, it's crazy because at some point the cable hit the clear and it left like an indentation on the clear. And I was thinking in my mind, like, oh man, I'm gonna have to like wait until that settles like flat, or I'm just going to have to go in there and shoot some more clear so the clear brings in some weight and it levels it out, right? So then I said, you know what? Let me hit it with the heat gun. Let's see how it reacts because it's still wet. And I started like just hitting it with the heat gun, not close, giving it some distance, you know? And all of a sudden, I started to see the clear move, and I started to see it leveled it out like clean. And I was like, dope. It just felt good, you know, like that satisfaction that things are going your way. And then once I started getting to the edges, I noticed that some of the clear was starting to drip. So a lot of that excess that was starting to like run down on the edge, I cut out a piece of tape, I folded it backwards, so this way you have the sticky on the outside, and then I went ahead and I touched the clear that was running, so it ends up just collecting all that extra excess, and then I started running the heat gun, and it started to level it all out, and it left it nice and good, like even it didn't leave any like icicles or anything like that, you know. So I managed to cut down on the curing time, and then I just left the board that night, and I also left it alone the next day. I didn't even mess with it at all, and then I finally, like days later, I came back just to check up on it, and yeah, everything looked cool. So now, you know, I can move forward. I could work on some stuff on it, whatever graphics I want to add, and you know, in case if I mess up, you know, I can wipe it off. And I could restart from that point going forward, you know, because I have that security insurance of clear that's above my base. So I'm still good right now. And yeah, I mean, thank you for that info, Tony, for letting us know. I appreciate every guest that comes on here and they share some input, you know, some of their methods and ways of how they get their model cars done. It would not, because I know just from hearing them speak about it, it motivates us and inspire us, and it also sparks that curiosity to go ahead and try it out, and hopefully, you know, to take it to the next level with your model building. And yeah, you know, that's pretty much it for this episode. You know, I wrote down like a huge list, and I'm like, man, I already got through it, and it felt so fast, like, you know, it didn't feel like it was an hour. But thank you guys for listening. I do have some guests coming up for the next episodes. You know, I wanted to do this one a solo one, especially because we're bringing in, you know, the beginning of the new year. A lot of you guys are going back to work. School is starting for a lot of the kids too, you know. So hopefully now that your kids are going to be in school, and if you don't work in the mornings, you have some free time to work on stuff. And, you know, we're back on the grind, you know, the beginning of the year. Let's see how things turn out, and let's just be positive, hope for the best, and have fun with what we're doing. Make sure if you want to reach out, hit me up, get look for me at 65lokes_ on Instagram, also at ScaleWriters on Instagram. We do have the YouTube channel, Patreon page. Shout out to all the Patreons that have been helping me out every month. Shout out to you guys, I appreciate that a lot. And yeah, let's see what NNL brings. The excitement, it's coming up, all right? And also the model car and pizza meet too. All right guys, peace out, hope you enjoyed this episode.